Hello, Professor Gina Marchetti. How are you?
Good.
I'm really, this is great to have you on. So for people who don't know who Gina Marchetti is, she's legendary in the realm of really, I guess, mainly Hong Kong action films. One of her earlier books is Romance and the Yellow Peril, Race, Sex and Discursive Strategies in Hollywood Fiction. And then another book called From Tiananmen to Times Square, Transnational China and the Chinese Diaspora on Global Screens between 1989 and 1997. And then Andrew Lau and Alan Mack's Infernal Affairs, the trilogy, is another book. And The Chinese Diaspora on American Screens is another. And Citing China, Politics, Postmodernism and World Cinema is another. But I mean, from my perspective, Gina is also the author of one of the first and still most excellent essays that I read when I was trying to work out how I would write about martial arts and their importance in culture and society. And it was an essay called Jackie Chan and the Black Connection. And it was in a collection which also featured an essay by Megan Morris called Learning from Bruce Lee. And those two essays, I think, were the things that really helped me to orientate myself and go, this is where this is similar to what I want to do. But I this is th they were the positions from which I began. And I also remember something that Megan Morris once said about Gina, and it was if you think you're about to write something new about Hong Kong cinema or action cinema, just have a look because Gina's probably already written about it. So, how are you?
Very good, especially after that really kind introduction. Feeling even better.
So, specifically today, I mean, you're currently in Hong Kong and you're working at the University of Hong Kong and you're teaching film studies and specifically your interests, I think, are in action cinema and kind of cultural identity politics.
Pretty much, that's fair enough. I'm working a lot on women filmmakers now.
Okay.
So I've been investigating a lot on women filmmakers, primarily Hong Kong filmmakers, but also women filmmakers now throughout China and the Chinese diaspora. So women filmmakers from Hong Kong, Taiwan, and elsewhere.
Okay.
So that's what I've been really focusing on lately.
Okay. So that's your ongoing research project, is it? Has it been published anywhere yet, or are you doing it in bits and pieces, or?
Yeah, there's part of it in actually the last book that you mentioned, Citing China. There's a couple of chapters on the women filmmakers, and then I've done some essays, and hopefully I'll have a working on a new book soon. So that'll be just on the women.
All right, excellent. But today we thought that it would be great to talk about that you've been doing a MOOC for the last few years, a massive, is it massive open online course or massive open access online course? What is
Massive
MOOC?
open online
Yeah.
course. Yes,
And it's
correct.
and I'm gonna we wanted to talk about that, didn't we? Because it's something that's sort of free for everyone to do. Everyone who wants to do it, it's free. And in this time of pandemic and lockdown, I mean, you know, we need more things to occupy our minds with. And this is a really interesting and exciting thing, isn't it? So you've actually prepared a PowerPoint for us. So for
That's right.
those of you who are listening to the audio on the on podcast, then we'll try and talk through what we're looking at. But I'm sharing the screen at the moment. So MOOC, Martial Arts Warriors, Hong Kong Cinema Through a Global Lens. Let's see how I can click through this. Will that work? No, I'll have to, I actually have to click this, don't I? Okay, so do you want to
Okay,
talk us through what we're looking at then, Gina?
for sure. You introduced it beautifully. A MOOC is an op a massive open online course. My course, as you'll see in a couple of minutes, isn't so massive because we have under 1,000 learners, but it really is a lot of people who come together to do the same online material, and it's open to all. There are no fees if you audit, and I'll explain to people how to do that later on. Everything is structured like a regular course, though, and it's really designed as a condensed version of things that I already do on campus here at Hong Kong U. So it's really an extension of things that I already teach.
Okay, cool. So these are the partners who help provide it, is it EdX University?
Yeah, correct. These are the other, it's on the EdX platform, which is a nonprofit that mm-hmm. works with a lot of different universities, including Hong Kong U. So this is just mm-hmm. a little bit of information on that for people who are interested.
There's a lot of international universities involved in this. Okay.
Yeah.
And then this is our introduction page, Hong Kong Cinema Through a Global Lens. Very, it's a beautiful city. Okay. And this is the teaching team, right?
That's correct. And if you do the next slide, our names are there too.
Yeah.
So these are the people we've put it together. Myself, Aaron Magnan Park, and Stacy Ford put it all together. And we've been working on it, as he mentioned already, for a few years now. So we've done several runs of the course. Right today I'm going to really focus on the martial arts that we do through the course. So I'm going to look at primarily the first two units that I do. Mm-hmm. I do the first unit and Aaron does the second unit. Mm-hmm. And my unit's primarily on Jackie Chan and his is primarily on Bruce Lee. But I'll also mention some of the other things that are in the course. Stacy's been fabulous because she does all of our assessment and helps us with all of the kind of written materials. So she's also involved in those first two units in that way.
Okay. And then, wow, okay. Enrollment.
Yeah, this is our current enrollment as of today. We have, actually this isn't of today. As of today, we do have current enrollment is over 900. So we've inched up over that 890 that you see there. So that gives you an idea just how big it is.
Okay. And then age, yeah.
Yeah, and then, if people do want to sign up for it, I want to give them a sense before I talked about what's in the course of who their peers are going to be. Because I know when we go to college or when we take a course, we think about, well, who are my fellow learners? Are they at the same level that I'm at? Are they, like me? If I talk on the forum or online with them, will I feel comfortable with them? So this is just to give you a sense of kind of who they are. They span a really wide range of ages. The course is designed really for entering university students, but mm-hmm. people take it throughout their lives. Our median age is 27. So we've got some learners who are kind of returning learners, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Excellent.
And then a lot of them, as you can see, have already been to college, and they tend to up the conversation a little bit, but it's also a very welcoming course. We don't expect people to have any prior knowledge of either martial arts or Hong Kong cinema or Hong Kong or anything. The course is designed to look at Hong Kong film through the concept of globalization. So it does introduce some ways of analyzing films mm-hmm. that will be useful for folks who may not even be that interested in Hong Kong.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the other thing that tends to surprise people because people think martial arts, Hong Kong, men. Yeah. And one of the big things that we really found out when doing the course, that it's not just me who's crazy about martial arts cinema and martial arts in general, it's a lot of women.
So, I suppose that's true because a lot of the really big names in Hong Kong action films and in action films generally, they're female academics, aren't they? Really a lot of the big names.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And also, in other parts of martial arts studies, as you've been showing in your work on martial arts cultural studies, that there are a lot of women who are scholars interested in that field as well. Mm-hmm. So when we look at it, this tends to surprise people because they think of Hong Kong martial arts cinema as macho. Yeah. When indeed, it's actually something that really speaks in a real deep way to both men and women, as well as the 2.3% who identify as other.
That's a great statistic. That's a really interesting
statistic. Identify. Yeah.
53% are female. That's really interesting. Okay. Yeah, so
we do a lot of gender analysis in the class beyond what we do with martial arts cinema. There's a lot in particularly Aaron's unit on Bruce Lee. Talking about masculinity and race. I also talk a bit about masculinity with Jackie Chan, but then later on in the course, we talk a lot more about gender and relationship to the other films that we deal with, including An Autumn's Tale and In the Mood for Love.
Okay, excellent. And this is how global it is.
Yeah, this is how global it is. Normally, when we run it as what we call instructor pay, so that's when We have it only open for 6 weeks, and I will go through it with the students week by week, and we'll have a roundup at the end of each week, and we'll have, you know, a condensed discussion. We normally have most people signing on from Hong Kong, mm-hmm. but because this time, in order to address the COVID-19 crisis, we decided that we'd open it up so that it's easier for other teachers to use if they want to use our online material. And it's also easier for students who may be asked to do, let's say, an independent study, or who need to study on their own with in some other way, for either college credit or for high school IB, International Baccalaureate program, or whatever, make it easier for them. So we've got more students this time from the United States, where people have increasingly gone online and really need material.
Yeah, okay. And there's a map.
This is the coolest thing. If you do the MOOC, I say this is one of our cool things. There are really some cool things. This is the number one cool thing. You go to the map, you put your pin on the map for where you're from, and you can write in, if you go to the next slide, you can write in and introduce yourself. So here are a few introductions. So once again, this is another way for learners to kind of get to know each other and for me to get to know them. And I'm often really moved by some of the things that they say to introduce themselves. Some people just put their name and where they're from, but other people really kind of open up about their own personal histories and their, you know, love for Hong Kong film. Some people had parents who loved Hong Kong film. Some people love the action stars like Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. If you go to the next slide too, some people really are coming from places where I teach all the time. People have for decades been really fascinated by Hong Kong action cinema, places like Mexico or South Africa. But when you see the students pop up and really confirm that, it's a way for me to tell the students when I'm lecturing, for example, as you mentioned, on Jackie Chan and the Black Connection. When I'm lecturing on Jackie Chan's global appeal, if I can show them their fellow learners from Latin America or from Africa are also really into these films, and often this is an indication that their communities have been into these films for generations, it really speaks to the present moment of globalization in a really effective way that I can't do if I'm just lecturing in Hong Kong, for example.
Yeah, and it really shows the... It gives a lot of information about who is into these things, you know, who is into a subject. I mean, it's not a simple, straightforward, like, correlation, but it gives a taste, doesn't it? It gives you a sense.
Yeah.
And there's some more.
And then here's, I thought this was really interesting because we have someone who demonstrates kind of the French connection with some of these films through Vietnam, and through French colonialism and then the Vietnamese diaspora and how these films speak there. And then also fellow academics. Here we've got a PhD candidate in anthropology who's taking this kind of anthropological perspective to the films. So we see this kind of, you know, broad range of interests, broad range of backgrounds, and really genuinely when you write something on the platform, you're engaging with people who are living very different lives and who can really give you a different perspective on Hong Kong cinema. So when I say it's through a global lens, I really mean it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought...
Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Aaron who demonstrates some Wing Chun there.
Yeah.
And he's in the MOOC at various points doing a little bit of demonstration. We have some other people who are also doing some demonstration. And in some of the roundup videos, too, I'll mention that a little bit later, we do have guests who'll come in. Occasionally, some martial artists will come in and talk about their work doing choreography.
Do you do any demos, Gina?
Me? Yeah. No.
Are you a Hong Ga person, or did I get that wrong?
I do practice martial arts, and I have for many, many years, but you will not catch me on camera doing it.
Oh. There'll be people sneaking around following you now, trying to catch you on camera.
No way. But yeah, for anyone who's interested, actually, in one of the roundup videos, one of my sihangs in Jiaoga, which is the system that I've studied the most, although I haven't been working on it a lot recently. One of my sihangs, Howard Bryant, passed away a couple of years ago. So I did a tribute to him and a discussion of that system, Jiaoga, which isn't that well known, but does have some cinematic connections and has really a global reach. And so if people are interested, if they dig around a little bit in those roundup videos at the end of the course syllabus, they can find some of these kinds of gems there and learn a little bit more about my own martial arts journey, which has been, what can I say, lengthy, convoluted, and certainly you won't see me winning any medals.
So this is the sign up. There's the address to sign up on.
Yeah, correct. And I'm just going to walk people through because they might not know how to sign up. The first thing you do, and if you go to the next slide, I'll show folks. The first thing you do, you go to the course page. And for people who are listening and not watching along with us, it's very easy to go to the course page. You simply write in Hong Kong Cinema Through a Global Lens and the put MOOC in. So put MOOC after it. And you'll come up with the edX landing page. And you hit enroll in the course, and then it'll send you to another landing page where you'll have to register through edX. Now, this is completely free. It's a nonprofit, so they don't really use your information to bother you that much. It's a fairly well-known and respected entity. So, you know, Harvard and some other Ivy League schools, along with Hong Kong U, are affiliated with it. So you won't be bugged by some kind of, you know, shady enterprise, which I think some people are a little bit, you know, wary of MOOCs because they're afraid of, you know, getting on a mailing list they don't want to be on or being bugged with a lot of unnecessary email. We will get emails from them, but that'll mainly be about the course.
Okay.
So you register, and then if you go to the next slide, you have to create an account. You can make up a name if you don't want to be known by your real name. I don't really care. You know, you have to have an email address, and that's about it. So it's very simple registration. It's not a lot of information.
Okay.
So, and then when you do that, you have to go back then to Hong Kong Cinema Through a Global Lens one more time, and then you click enroll now. And then they'll send you to, if you scroll down on that page, which you can't do in this slide, but if you scroll down, they'll ask you if you want a verified certificate. You probably don't, so don't click that. Don't give them any money. You don't have to. Click audit. And pretty much everything in the class is available to you as an audit. So I recommend that option. When the class is over, you won't have any access to it anymore. They put that stuff behind a paywall now. They didn't ask me. I would have said no. But they didn't ask me. And all of the materials are free and open and online. But they do have now a little bit more in terms of paywalls that you have to navigate through. So just to, you know, tell people that if you write anything down and you say, like a month later, oh, I want to go back and look at what I said, you won't be able to. It'll be closed.
Take comprehensive notes the first time round, I guess, and, you know. Yes.
Well, you can always sign up again. You know, well, with this option of learner pace is going to end at the end of June, but then we'll offer it again in the fall. So you can always sign up again, but your own notes won't be there anymore.
Okay.
So if you wrote anything, that won't be there anymore for you to access unless you pay them some money, which I do not recommend.
Okay. And then?
The course is there. And it looks pretty much like any other course. Now, let me explain a little bit to people who might not be familiar with MOOCs. They're not for college credit. You do have some assignments you can do for this particular iteration of it. The assignments are very simple because I'm not there to kind of supervise how things are done. Very simple. If you want to do them, you can. I recommend don't even bother. All of the videos are there, so you'll have video materials. You'll have some readings to do that are all open access, by the way, so you don't have to worry about having access to a library to get to articles or whatever. They're all open access articles. notes for the lectures, and all that kind of thing. For people who are need to have subtitles, if they're non-native speakers of English, there's English language subtitles to help out, because I tend to speak rather quickly. So not only can you go back and forth in the video and listen to things, you can read through it. And also for people who are who read Chinese, there's simplified characters to go through if you want to read what I have to say in Chinese. Now, you might ask me, why simplified, since here in Hong Kong we use traditional? Simplified because a lot of our learners are in mainland China, so we have this for them to be able to read through, and even if their English may not be the best, they can still do the course. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess people who are learning Chinese from outside of Hong Kong will be learning simplified, won't they, anyway, probably. So.
Well, yes, Singapore, yes, Taiwan, no. In the videos themselves, we use traditional characters. Mm-hmm. So within the videos, when we do have, for example, characters that we'll use for film titles, sometimes I'll talk about, for example, the English version of a film title and then the Chinese version. So occasionally we will talk about Chinese, and when we do talk about Chinese as a language, we use traditional characters as they're used here in Hong Kong. Okay. But otherwise, we use simplified for the learning materials, just in case anybody's interested.
Okay.
And then this is what a lesson will look like. You'll have a video, more than one video. You'll go through the videos, and in between the videos, there might be little quizzes or activities to do or things like that. So that it's like going through a course where you listen to the teacher, but only listen to the teacher for maybe 15, 20 minutes at the most. Mm-hmm. And then you'll do something else. And then you work through the class that way. Roughly in terms of doing a unit, it'll be roughly an hour and a half to do both the lecture material and then whatever activities we might ask for. So a little bit less than maybe a 3 hour a week college class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
And then, what's in it and why? Yeah. Well, as I was saying, it's really looking at Hong Kong cinema through that global lens. So we look at why are we looking at Hong Kong cinema through the global lens? What are Hong Kong cinema's global connections? What are they historically? What are they like today? I begin by looking a lot at sort of Hollywood versions of Hong Kong and what they look like through history as well as today. So that relationship between Hong Kong and Hollywood that's been so intimate over the years, I kind of unpack. Then we look also at Hong Kong and Europe, and particularly the last lesson is really devoted to In the Mood for Love, looking at it in terms of its international reach from Hollywood, from mentions at the Oscars and that sort of thing, through Cannes and through Hong Kong's relationship to the film festival world. So we look at that global image, and we look at really how Hong Kong, throughout the course, we look at this in a very strong way, how Hong Kong cinema has influenced world cinema and world culture in general.
Okay, world culture in general.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot on global. This word cloud is what we've got from this particular, so it's something that we captured a couple of days ago, but if people sign up today, they can add to it today. So it's a evolving word cloud about what's the first word that comes to mind when you think of globalization. And as you can see here, pandemic is coming up. We don't always have pandemic, but in this particular iteration, we do have pandemic. And I just wanted to point this out. It's not really a martial arts aspect of the course, but it might be of interest to people right now who are thinking a lot about globalization and disease and the circumstance we find ourselves in today. If you look at the roundup video for the last run of the course that we just completed before this opening to the self-paced, we completed it just a few weeks ago. There are two roundup videos with a colleague of mine, Rhea Sinha, and she's a specialist in epidemics. And we did two discussions with her, one on the film Contagion, which, as you know, includes a lot on Hong Kong, Macau as well as Hong Kong, as the epicenter inspired by SARS from 2003. Mm-hmm. And then another, just a few weeks later, as an update on how Hong Kong was being imagined and how China was being imagined it right now in terms of COVID-19. When we first started, the germ didn't even have a name. It was just the novel coronavirus. And then we talked a lot about naming the disease and how the controversy surrounding the naming of the disease and Wuhan virus versus things like in 1968, we had Hong Kong flu, these kinds of naming and that sort of thing. So it's really very, I found it fascinating to talk with her. I love talking, as you know, Paul, because I love talking to you. I love talking with my colleagues about these kinds of things. It was really fun.
That sounds excellent. Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Yeah. And then, oh, we're going through the syllabus now a little bit.
Yeah. I'm only going to talk briefly at the syllabus because I know that, you know, there's a time limit, a bit of a time limit on our talk today. So I didn't want to go into too much detail, but I wanted to give people, particularly who are interested in martial arts, a little bit of a taste of what we do in those first two units. So in the first unit, in addition to talking about globalization in general, I talk a lot about Jackie Chan. And it's not about all of Jackie Chan's films or anything like that, but it's really focusing on Jackie Chan as a world figure. So I look particularly at the ways in which he's navigated throughout his career from Hong Kong cinema, even the early days of his work in his training in Peking Opera in Hong Kong and why he was doing Peking Opera, not Cantonese Opera in Hong Kong, those kinds of things. The whole sort of immigrant city and how the Hong Kong's outward look, you know, his Hollywood dream in a lot of ways, was pushing him in certain directions throughout his career. So I look at that. I look a lot at his appeal to minority communities around the world, even outside of the Chinese diaspora. So I look at that Black connection. I look at the way he's worked through his and addressed his fans in East Asia, in Japan, in Taiwan, throughout Malaysia and in other parts of Southeast, South and East Asia. So it's this kind of discussion of Jackie Chan. Now, in that discussion, of course, what his appeal revolves around, the way he navigates between martial arts, performance, and action, this idea of moving from the Hong Kong martial arts film to the transnational action film, and the movement from doing martial arts, doing performance, based, sometimes inspired by the way martial arts were conceived of in Peking Opera, and moving through to stunts like we see in Police Story, which are after this huge kind of fight scene throughout the mall with a lot of people and a lot of stunt work, moving from that to a spectacular stunt, which is not really a martial arts move. Yes. Or martial arts choreography, but stunt choreography. So I talk a lot about that transition and how it really impacts the way in which we think about martial arts cinema in relationship to action cinema.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
And then Aaron, as I said, takes over and talks about Bruce Lee. And he talks about Bruce Lee very much in terms of race and gender and identity. So he looks a lot at masculinity and the way in which Bruce Lee fashioned his masculinity a particular way, going through, of course, Bruce Lee's fascinating personal history, born in the U.S. to his Cantonese opera family, on tour, growing up in Hong Kong, and then, of course, moving back to the U.S. and then having to go back to Hong Kong to really establish his career and get the recognition that he so rightly deserved as a an international star. So, and Aaron, who does demonstrate martial arts in the MOOC, talks a lot about it, about Bruce Lee's particular approach, not just to martial arts. Of course, he started Jeet Kune Do and is a martial artist in his own right. If he was only a martial artist, of course, he'd still be a major figure in the history of martial arts culture. But of course, beyond that, he brought a new way of approaching martial arts within the cinema. So Aaron really does a great job of discussing and unpacking that for the learners.
Okay. I love Bruce Lee.
I know you do, and you've written books on Bruce Lee, which I also love.
I spend a lot of time wondering and trying to work out why I don't love Jackie Chan. Like, you know, I appreciate Jackie Chan, but just trying to, and as you were talking there, I was thinking, well, it's maybe a conversation for another day, because I know you want to go through this syllabus, but I think when you're talking about his stunts and we're thinking about maybe some of the comedy, I was thinking, do I not like physical comedy? Is it because I like more macho kind of films? Is it because I like more action films? And I was thinking about the physical comedy that I really do love. And I think I like the physical comedy of incompetence rather than that incredibly dynamic and precise physical comedy of Jackie Chan. I mean, I can be impressed by it, but I really like the comedy of people who are useless. Anyway, that's a digression. So sorry about that. I didn't mean to derail things.
No, I want to digress as well, because, you know, another thing that we talk about a lot in the MOOC, particularly once again in those roundup videos, is Jackie Chan as a controversial figure. Because I thought you were going to say, oh, I don't know why I don't like Jackie Chan. But I go into a lot of detail about why people in Hong Kong really don't like Jackie Chan. And the changes in his identity recently, in terms of his recrafting his identity in order to appeal to the mainland market, because the dynamics of global cinema have changed, and he's changed with it. He's in the process, has alienated fans, not just in Hong Kong, but even with some of his films like Kung Fu Yoga. He's alienated some fans in India and other parts of the world because of his embrace of Chinese nationalism. There's a lot of different ways, different degrees of not liking Jackie Chan, although there's still some amazing fans.
I know that it's not the day to dissect Jackie Chan again. I'm sure that you'd spend a lot of time doing that. But yeah, we talked, Ben Judkins and I, we talked about Jackie Chan a week or two ago, and Kung Fu Yoga, which I still haven't seen. And the reason I haven't seen it is because I can't seem to go out of my way to put an effort in to actually watch a Jackie Chan film. You know what I mean? If I bump into one, I watch it, but I'm not actually going to go looking for a Jackie Chan film.
I have one to recommend for you. Have you seen The Foreigner?
Oh God, yeah, I loved it.
Isn't it amazing?
I loved that film.
It's amazing. I've put a pause on my women filmmakers research in order specifically to write a paper on that film. I'm writing a paper on that film for a book.
It's massively ideological in terms of the character
Brexit. That plays.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of subtle and complex stuff there. But I quite like his older, you know, his older kind of the older shambling person with hidden depths. I like that dimension. You know, it's a familiar character, but I like the way he does it. I liked him in the remake of The Karate Kid. I like that.
Oh, character. Yes. Well, you've read my essay on that. I know you appreciate that, or at least my view of that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so this is the roundup weeks.
So we could go through that because I've already talked a little bit about it. Let me show you just an example from the Jackie Chan thing. So if you go to the next slide. In the roundup videos, we take up some things that might appear on the forum. And for this particular version of the MOOC, we won't do the roundup videos because people can go through if they want to. They can go through the whole course in one day. It's completely open to use rather than opening it up one week at a time and going through it at my pace. People can go through it at their own pace. But we do include access to all of our earlier roundup videos that were kind of weekly responses to what learners might have said on the forum or what might have been going on at the time. Mm-hmm. I recommend at least looking at last runs, roundup videos, or digging a little bit deep into them, clicking around a little bit in them. I often talk about things that I didn't get a chance to really analyze in the units themselves, but that come up over and over again. And one of the things that comes up over and over and over again is particularly a police story, mm-hmm. and particularly that scene that's included. We pay to include the clips in the MOOC.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, a certain amount of time we can use in terms of a clip from each film. So we have a lot of clips in a lot of different films that learners can use. And we do include that scene, but not all of the scene. So I spent a little time in some of the roundup videos talking a little bit more about Bridget Lin, as well as Maggie Jung's action roles in the film, as particularly in the shopping mall scene, mm-hmm. because it's sometimes a neglected part. People focus so much on that last stunt, mm-hmm. that they forget the choreography that went into the rest of the mall scene. Mm-hmm. So I talk a little bit more about that with Maggie Jung and Bridget Lin. And if people are interested, like I said, click around and find what you're interested in, because there are some of these gems.
Excellent.
Another one is we occasionally will have, if you click around in the roundup videos, we do have guests in the regular unit, but we also have guests in the roundup videos. And Maria Tran is one of my favorite guests, and she's been with us before. And I just wanted to point her out today because recently she's put out a new film. It's a short film on YouTube, and I thought people would like to see it. She's an amazing choreographer and a real, she's amazing. She's clearly a wonderful, has deep knowledge of the Chinese martial arts, mm-hmm. and has worked a lot. She's ethnically Vietnamese and she's from Australia, but she's worked really hard on mastering a variety of martial arts. And she has a real in-depth knowledge of not just the arts themselves, but also of stunt choreography and martial arts choreography. And you really see her to absolutely amazing advantage in Tiger Cop Toilet Paper Hero, which is a send-up of our current COVID-19 pandemic, yeah. in which she is stealing toilet paper. And she's always, she loves to play the villainess. So in this case, she really does a great job of being kind of the wicked toilet paper thief.
And that's just available on YouTube, you say, is it? It's
yeah, it's just on YouTube. Actually, no, come to think of it, in this one, you know, she might be the cop. She turns out to be the cop, but first you don't know whether she's the baddie or the goodie. I think she turns out being good in this one.
Cool.
But anyway, watch it and see. It's really well done. And very, it's a comedy though, hopefully. I don't know if it'll be to your taste, Paul, but it might, you know.
Don't get me wrong. It's not that I dislike all competent physical comedy. It's just part of me trying to work out what it is about Jackie Chan that makes me not love him.
Well, she went on a quest for Jackie Chan. So she also has, if you look on YouTube, if you look for Maria Tran's quest for Jackie Chan, you'll see a lot of Jackie Chan influence in her choreography, a lot of humor, but also a lot of like really, you know, elaborate physical work that I really greatly admire. Mm-hmm. So check it out.
Yeah, I definitely will. And this is your Facebook page?
Yeah, and then like us on Facebook, because I often put out articles or other information, not just about the course, but about Hong Kong film, about Hong Kong culture occasionally, and that kind of thing. If things that I think people who have taken the course or who are interested in Hong Kong cinema from a global perspective might find interesting. So, you know, like us on Facebook, as they say.
Okay, cool. And then?
And then stay in the action. That's my last slide.
Okay, that's brilliant. So yeah, well, wow, okay, great. I do think that this kind of stuff has I think film studies solo form based martial arts are all of a sudden really back on the agenda in a big way, aren't they? All of a sudden we're incredibly relevant, you know. Tai Chi, Qigong, film studies, media studies, all of a sudden people are going to start to appreciate this aspect of the world more.
I agree.
I mean,
online education, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
It all intersects with what we're talking about today, because so many people who thought they would never learn anything online are suddenly forced to be online, or people who've never thought they would teach online are suddenly forced to teach online. Yes. People who thought, I only like to go to the gym, who can't go to the gym now, you're right, are watching those. I know I am watching those martial arts YouTubes all the time. I'm, following along. I even went back to some old Taibo videos to, work out. Believe me, that's digging deep. That's digging deep down there. Yes. So, we're going into things that, people would never have thought of. And then people want to talk about action films, really. They want to talk about these disaster films, pandemic films like Contagion.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about, the relationship or how those films envision the world, going back to not just Contagion, but even films like World War Z, where they're imagining a world with South Korea and other parts of Asia within this kind of imagination of the apocalypse, and how oftentimes through an American imagination or an American focused sort of approach to what is going on or what should be going on or how things will be turn out. Mm-hmm. And I think people now, when you go into film studies and you look at things not from the U.S. perspective, but from the Hong Kong perspective, you realize, gosh, there's a whole different cinematic tradition and a whole different way of looking at things.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Apparently, wasn't pandemic a few weeks ago the most watched thing on Netflix or something, apparently. No, Contagion. I said pandemic. Contagion. You know what I meant. Yeah, I made my daughters watch it because they weren't taking it seriously enough. They weren't taking the whole handball thing. I was like, watch this. They didn't really enjoy it. to be honest. But yeah, okay, Gina. Thank you ever so much for talking to us about the MOOC. Next time we'll have to talk about your ongoing research a bit more. But that was really great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I always enjoy chatting with you.